Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Keep Moving Forward podcast with Tom O'Leary. I am so thankful for you. Thanks for interacting, suggesting ideas for future podcasts. Thank you so much for passing the podcast on to people that you know, people that you think would benefit. And thank you so much if you're able to donate, or if you are donating, you know who you are, and I'm so grateful for you. And why am I singing? I don't know. I'm so happy. Because I'm grateful for you. That's why. And all the podcasts, all the messages are on my website, TomOLeary.org. You know the routine, TomOLeary.org. And you can donate there as well. So I'm just so grateful for you. And also, never forget, not only that God loves you, we'll do that at the end like we always do, but that you can listen to the Keep Moving Forward podcast with Tom O'Leary on your podcast app on your phone. So when you tell people about the podcast, either send them to the website, or if they can send me their email, they'll get a weekly heads up, or tell them about the podcast app and that they can find it there as well. Well, today we're talking about a really serious subject: when things seem hopeless. And you may be in a situation right now where you are feeling hopeless. The odds seem to be against you, or a loved one. Maybe you're feeling the pain for one of your loved ones. And that can be a tough place to be. But I want you to know that we serve the God of hope. The God of hope. And you've probably heard me say this before. He is the lifter of your head. So when our head is down and is hopeless, God's big hands cup us right around the cheeks. And as a gracious, loving Father, He gently lifts our eyes up so that we can be restored to being hopeful and having our hope renewed. And that's where we want to be, because we've all been there. You may be in a season of hopelessness. Maybe you're not, but I bet my bottom dollar, I'll bet you two bits, as my dad would say, which equals a quarter, 25 cents. Yes, I would bet you that you've been in that season where you're feeling hopeless. I'll never forget, Sherry and I had just had our third little baby, and she got really, really sick with her stomach. And, you know, they're doing tests. They don't know what it is. And so we go in to do a CAT scan. And she's in this extreme pain. And we go in to do the CAT scan. And it's supposed to be about a 20 to 30 minute procedure. So I'm in the waiting room. And half an hour goes by. An hour goes by. It gets to about 2 hours. And I'm wondering, what in the world is going on? Well, they had pumped her body with iodine, not knowing, and we didn't know, that Sherry is allergic to iodine. So to this day, on a sidebar, she does not eat seafood because seafood has iodine. Fun fact. But back on, I'm flipping out because she ends up having this reaction to the iodine and can't breathe. And all of a sudden, like something out of the movies or an ER show, the doctors are, you know, pumping, you know, a different shot into her arm and putting oxygen over her face and making sure that she wasn't suffocating to death. And so it just was such a horrible time in our life, a challenging time. And we just didn't have answers. And so I was thinking that the two of us were going in for this CAT scan, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and head home and be with our kids. The babysitter had them. And instead, I go walking out of that hospital by myself as she needed to spend the next few nights in the hospital. They wanted to keep an eye on her. And I get into my car and I start to cry. And I whisper the words, God Where are you? And all of a sudden, I turn the key of the ignition after saying those words, God, where are you? And blaring through the stereo was a song that we're screaming the lyrics, God is in control. And in that moment, it was like God was giving me one of those God moments, one of those holy nudges of, Tom, I'm speaking to you right now. You asked where I am. Well, I'm telling you, I'm here and I am in control. And so the Lord saw us through that season and restored Sherry's health. But man, it was a tough one. I was taking care of the baby while she was in the hospital, and I'm bottle feeding the baby throughout the night. It was just a really, really rough season for us. But we came out the other side, and God used that little moment and that song blaring through the stereo to restore my hope. And I believe that God wants to restore your hope today, and especially when things seem hopeless. The title of today's podcast, When Things Seem Hopeless. Let me give you a key verse, an intro scripture to kick this thing off. And it's found in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 and 19 says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So what this scripture is saying is that God has made a promise and an oath, and those are unchangeable. They're unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. You can use that trivia on somebody. What is the one thing that God cannot do? Because, you know, God can do everything, right? Well, the one thing he cannot do is lie, right? And so we have this opportunity to take hold of this hope that he is offering, to be encouraged. And this hope, as it says in this passage, Hebrews 6, verse 19, is like an anchor to the soul. I love that. And then it goes on to say that we would be firm and secure. So that's our goal for today, that we would be firm and secure, stable and rock solid, firm and secure. And that word secure, a lot of times, is associated with safe, feeling safe and secure, that safety that God wants to provide for us. And like an anchor, I've been on some rocky boats before and got horribly seasick, but it's amazing that when you drop an anchor, how it just hunkers down the boat and the waves are rolling, but the boat's not going to move, the ship's not going to move because of that anchor. It allows you to be secure and to be firm in your beliefs in trusting God. So let me give you not three takeaways, not five takeaways, but I'm going to give you six. Yep, you get a bargain deal today, six takeaways, and we're just going to address it straight up from God's word when things seem hopeless. Okay, number one. Believe God's promises. And that's based on Romans 4, 18, that's talking about Abraham of the Old Testament. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Okay, that is an old Sunday school children's song. But boy, did it stick. I'll never forget Father Abraham. And so the promise was that his descendants would, you know, be like the stars in the sky. And so, you know, how would this come about? And it says here in Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Well, the problemo is that Abraham didn't have any children. So how could you have any descendants? And his wife Sarah was unable to get pregnant. So the two of them can't get pregnant. There's some interesting other translations for this Romans 4:18. One is hope against hope. It's an interesting way to say it. Against all odds. When it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. So against all hope, hope against hope, against all odds when things looked hopeless. Another translation, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. So the bottom line is the odds were against him. And in fact, Abraham is getting up there, real up there in age. And he does do an oopsie-do. He decides to take the matter in his own hands. And so he has a baby with his maidservant, Hagar. And Sarah knows about it, his wife. But and they name that baby Ishmael. And God's like, why don't you trust me? Why don't you believe in what I promised? And so if you can believe it, Abraham's 100 years old, Sarah is 90 years old, and she has a baby named Isaac. Now, all the moms out there, you are freaking out right now because you're thinking, are you kidding me? Going through labor at 90 years old? I mean, just kill me now and take me to heaven. I would not want that, and I'm a man. You know, kid night. But see, you know, Abraham learned a big lesson. And I mean, against all odds, when things were so hopeless, he had to believe God's promises. Now, first of all, lesson, let's not take things in our own hands. When God has given us these promises, you can't try to force it in your own strength. You know, Jesus is the only one that can transform things. Our hearts, our minds, the situation. Now, we do our part. We get in alignment with God. We get in faith with God. And we believe God's promises. That is, in fact, number one takeaway. Okay, number two. This is huge. When things seem hopeless, number two takeaway. Trust in God's sovereignty. Okay, He is the God that's in control, just like that song. God is in control. So we have to trust in God's sovereignty. Now we go to Job in the Old Testament. So we were with Abraham, now Job. And it says in Job 13, verse 15 to 16, Job says, though he slay me, and he's talking about God, though God slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. Indeed, this will turn out for my deliverance, for no godless person would dare come before him. What Job is saying here when he says no godless person, meaning a hypocrite. So he's going to say, God, I'm still going to stand before you. I'm going to be transparent. I'm going to be honest. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not holding back anything. And, you know, another way to think of this, of, you know, though he slay me, meaning God might let me die. God might have me die. But guess what? My hope is still in him. I'm trusting in him. And so, you know, it's interesting, the story of Job. This is kind of an interesting fun fact. For Israelites, Hebrews, Jewish people, there were four things that they believed would make a happy life. Number one, prosperity. Number two, children and many children. Number three, long life. So longevity, a long life. And then number four, a proper burial. Not that they would have any control over that, but if they had lived a life well lived and they had loved ones around them that loved them, then surely they would get a proper burial. And so Job had these things going for him. Job had 10 children, 7 boys, 3 daughters. Job, the Bible says that he was the wealthiest guy in the area, in the region. He had thousands and thousands and thousands of livestock. And so he's living this wonderful life before God. He was very reverent, and so much so that God had a wall of protection, a hedge of protection around him. And so he has all these great things. And so the Bible talks about that Satan comes to God and says, you know, well, sure, you know, I see Job, and it's because you're blessed him and you have this hedge of protection. Let me just take away his possessions. And God says, okay, but don't lay a hand on him. So it's a really fascinating story. Well, what ends up happening, all his livestock die or get stolen. A big wind tears down a house with all his children in it and kills them all 10 children. And they were celebrating and feasting and partying it up and maybe sinning. It alludes to that Job would go out and sacrifice for them. So he loses his livelihood, his wealth. He loses his family, his children. Then he still says, but God, my hope is in you. So Satan goes back to God one more time and says, well, let me take a shot at his health. And the Lord says, okay, but you can't kill him. So all of a sudden, he gets this total boils all over his body and he's sick. And in this moment, he's like on his deathbed. He can't die, but he is in massive pain, boils all over his body. And he's in this horrific physical condition. And right in that moment, the Bible says that his wife walks in and says, why don't you curse God and die? She said it just like that. And, you know, she didn't really have the gift of compassion, I'm going to say. No, not really. And so, man, poor Job, all these things. And he still comes to the place where he says, God, even though all these things are being slayed in my life, my hope is in you. Who else would I turn to? And that is a powerful, powerful thing. So what Job was saying is, God, I'm going to trust in your sovereignty, that you are in control. My hope is in you. I'm trusting that you are sovereign over everything. Even when, and Job says it, he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, yet my hope is in you. So number two takeaway, when things seem hopeless, trust in God's sovereignty. So big. Okay, number three, know that God hasn't forgotten you. And this is a psalm by David in the Old Testament, Psalm 9, verse 18. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. And so know that God hasn't forgotten you. Know that as long as you hang on to your hope in him, that won't perish. That won't die. It'll never die. And if you're in need, you know, guess what? God won't forget you. So it's so essential to have that kind of hope, knowing that God has not forgotten you. I think of a study that was done on people who survived Nazi concentration camps. And they did all this research and studies of those that actually persevered through the Nazi horrific conditions in these camps, in these prisons, and made it back home. And the one common denominator for the people that persevered and made it through and survived was hope. That was the one common denominator. So no matter how bad things look, how horrific challenges that you're going through, how hopeless it may feel, You got to know that God hasn't forgotten you. Number four takeaway, let God pour His love into your heart. God's love is the game changer. So our fourth takeaway is based on Romans 5, verse 3 to 5. Apostle Paul is pinning this to the church in Rome. And he says, not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So hope does not disappoint. Hope does not shame us. In fact, hope leads us out of shame. And so it says here that God has poured His love out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so that's the fourth takeaway. Let God pour His love into your heart. And here's the other thing. They bring up shame in this passage. Paul brings up shame. And, you know, shame prevents you from experiencing God's love. Shame cripples you. I was with my prayer partner the other day and we were talking about shame, and I, you know, was just pouring my heart out to him, and he looks at me and he goes, "You know where shame comes from, Tom? The pit of hell." And he's so right. And so remember, conviction is, okay, I know what the right thing is to do and I need to follow through. That's conviction. Shame is what just the enemy of your soul uses to tear you down and create self-hatred and self-loathing and all of that yuckiness. And it's from the pit of hell. And so come on now, let God, invite God to pour His love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you what, that is going to wash off the shame for sure. And that's going to lead you out of shame and into hope. So many times shame is tied to this feeling of hopeless when things seem hopeless. A lot of times it's rooted in shame. And so we got to come back to Romans 3, verse 3 to 5, recognize the disappointments, the suffering is going to build perseverance, is going to build character, is going to lead to hope. So invite God. Number four, let God pour His love into your heart. Okay, two more because you get a bonus one, bonus round. I'm going to give you six. Here's number five. Pray that God would enlighten your heart. That's based on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Apostle Paul pins to the church in Ephesus, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people." And so this is really interesting. Okay, heart in the Bible means your spiritual core, the very spiritual core of who you are. So when someone invites Jesus into their heart, it's not the physical organ pumping blood, but the spiritual core of who they are. And so this scripture, Ephesians 1:18, is saying, pray for spiritual insight. Pray that you'd have that enlightenment, that spiritual light that would give you the wisdom and the knowledge and the truth and the ability and the empowerment to, in fact, be hopeful and to get out of that phase of hopelessness. And so it's kind of that spiritual moment, as the old saying goes, you know, when the light bulb finally came on, you know, bing, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, I get it now. I see it now. We need those kind of moments. And I'm telling you what, light and darkness are not equal. They are not equal. They are opposites. Light shatters darkness. When you walk into a dark room and you flip on the switch, bam, the light shatters the darkness. They are not equal. They are opposite, and light shatters darkness. They are not equal opposites. They, light will always win. And so that's what we need. We need that moment. So the fifth takeaway, pray that God would enlighten your heart. Last one, number six. Number six, when things seem hopeless, that's what we're talking about. We're going to go to Titus. And here we have a little tiny New Testament book, Titus chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. And this again is Apostle Paul writing to Titus. He says, I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. Verse 2 of Titus 1, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Oh, I love it. You know, number six, takeaway, hope in God's gift of eternal life. It says, in the hope of eternal life. It reminds us again, God, who does not lie, and He promised this eternal life before the beginning of time. That's a crazy thought. God knew about you before you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. God knew about you before you were a baby growing in your mother's womb. God knew about you and loved you and had promised this eternal life. And so hope, put your hope in God's gift of eternal life. It's called the hope of heaven. So no matter what suffering you're going through, no matter how things seem hopeless, you got to lift your eyes a little higher and put your hope in this eternal life in heaven that's perfect, perfect, perfect place. You know, I was challenged the other day in my men's Bible study to think about what was the most memorable funeral or celebration of life that you've ever been to. And, you know, I've been to a lot. I've officiated a lot. But really, when it gets personal like that, I thought of my dad's. And that, you know, happened about a year and a half ago. And how powerful it was. And this moment of honoring him. And yet this moment of celebrating that he's dancing with Jesus in heaven. And we just have to hold on to the hope of eternal life. And that's going to lift our head higher. That's going to get our hopes up high. And so, you know, some people are so pessimistic. They're like, you know, Tom, don't get your hopes up too high. And I'm like, no, I'm going to get my hopes up high because my hope's in the Lord. And I want to encourage you, get your hopes up high. Don't listen to the negative voices. So let me recap and then I'll pray us out. You know, we're talking about in today's podcast, when things seem hopeless, what do you do? What do we do? Six takeaways. Number one, believe God's promises. Remember, Abraham had a baby at age 100. Sarah was 90. Believe God's promises. God can do anything except lie. Remember that one. Number two, trust in God's sovereignty. That was Job. He said, Lord, there's all these horrible things, but guess what? My trust is in that you're in control. God is in control. So my hope is in you. Number two, trust in God's sovereignty. Number three, know that God hasn't forgotten you. So important. He'll never forget you. And that's going to help you not feel hopeless when you know that God's thinking about you. He has not forgotten you. Number four, let God pour His love into your heart. This is transformational. This is the game changer. This is going to restore hope and lead you out of shame. Let God, invite God to pour His love into your heart. Number five takeaway, pray that God would enlighten your heart based on Ephesians 1 verse 18, that your heart would be enlightened. You'd have this spiritual God aha moment that's going to help you see the light and see the light at the end of the tunnel and restore your hope. And finally, sixth takeaway, hope in God's gift of eternal life. Hope in God's gift of eternal life. Remember, whatever you're going through now is so temporary. God's word says this life on earth is like a vapor. It's like a mist. It's here for a second and then it's gone compared to eternity, which eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in a perfect place. No more pain, no more death, no more sickness, no more sin, no more bad things, no more tears, no more crying. It's joyful, unbelievable, unspeakable joy, glory with God with our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever and ever. And so on that, I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you for each person listening. And God, if they are feeling hopeless, God, I pray you'd turn the tide, change the wind, move on their behalf. And God, be the lifter of their head. And Father, help them to come back to these six things that we talked about here, based on your word, that we'd really put our hope in you and your promises, and all these promises out of these six things. God, help us to do that. Strengthen, empower us to do that, and lead us out of hopelessness and in to that place of being hopeful and joyful and peaceful. And God, I just pray that blessing over them by the power of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so grateful for you. Remember, you can get all the podcasts at the website, tomoleary.org. If you're able to pass this on to someone else that is in a tough situation, is suffering, just send them to the website or share the podcast with them or lead them to the podcast app. And if you're able to donate today, no matter how small or large, it is so helpful. It keeps us going and growing. And so thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. And again, you can do that on the website, tomoleary.org. And I'm just so grateful. We'll never forget, never, ever, ever. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I'm for you. God bless.